Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Friday, April the 20th, as we come off a Phillies victory. The Phillies beat the snot out of the Pittsburgh Pirates in the first game of a four-game series, 7-0, on the back of Jake Arrieta. We'll get into Jake Arrieta's dominance, as Arrieta was just outstanding, helping the Phillies improve to 11-7, as again they're starting a four-game homestand. A 10-game homestand, but a four-game set with the Pittsburgh Pirates. We'll get into the series and then the homestand, as there is it's a really important stand here, as the Pirates had been 12-6 coming in, now sitting at 12-7. The Phillies 11-7. The Pirates, the first team with and the Braves playing good baseball, so it's hard to say that the Braves are not a legitimate team at the moment. But Pirates, and then we'll get into the rest of this homestand here. They've got the Diamondbacks coming to town after that. The Diamondbacks are a really good baseball team. But first and foremost, yesterday the Phillies get the job done. Nice to see them come home off the disappointing loss in Atlanta, losing the third game of the series, the rubber match, as they fall 2 out of 3, to come back and just own Pittsburgh from start to finish. Jake Arrieta was just absolutely dominant. Really, unhittable is not a word, you throw around lightly. He was absolutely unhittable. The numbers show it, as he goes 7 innings, only allows 1 hit, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts, just effortless velocity. He was in the mid-90s, 93, 94, all game, whenever he wanted it. His stuff was dancing all over, and he had a slider that was just insane. I think it was to Adam Frazier, to strike out Adam Frazier. He had just a breaking ball coming in at like 79, 80 miles an hour after throwing that 94 mile per hour heat that was just dropping off the table. Arrieta was peak Arrieta. And Gabe Kapler actually addressed it in his post-game press conference, talking about the concept that he's like, he phrased it as basically like, he's like, average Jake Arrieta is a really good pitcher, and we're really happy if we get that guy. But when you get the little bit better than that Jake Arrieta, he's unhittable. And that was the guy that we saw last night, and he really was. And it's true. I mean, look, it's a guy who's thrown no hitters in baseball. You don't do that unless you're unhittable, but more so a guy who, has had stretches in the majors that are as good as anyone in a long, long, long period of time. I mean, his 2015 second half that won him the Cy Young was the best second half in the history of baseball. So Arrieta, and obviously, we're not going to see him like that all the time out. That's kind of what Kapler was alluding to there. But Arrieta last night just locked in and owned Pittsburgh's soul, as that lineup was just feeble against him, and then Philly's able to close it out. Victor Arana, we'll get to him in just a minute as well. But a few notes from the game is outside of Arrieta just dominating, and again, they could have just scored one run. It would have been over, but the Phillies did put up a crooked number here and there, getting a seven spot really on the back of that five-run second inning, which kind of put the game away, batted around in the inning. Rhys Hoskins, a solo shot, and then the Phillies went from there, bases loaded with no outs, and then Jorge Alfaro strikes out. Rough, rough night for Alfaro. He goes 0-for-4 with three strikeouts. He looks lost at the plate at the moment. After a nice start, it seems like pitchers are adjusting, and he is not. We will see where that goes. I've been impressed with the work John Mailey has done with the hitters so far in their approach and what how they've been going about it. So we'll see if Alfaro certainly has that power, and he's been really good. Now, you know, I think he's been much better behind the plate than people expected. Obviously, he has a cannon, which we've talked about, of that arm, but has done a nice job framing pitches and seemingly handling the staff as well. Certainly the results have borne out as this pitching staff, I mean, it has been insane. You know, an ERA well under 2 since opening day after that game, and that would be including that game yesterday with, or excuse me, 2 days ago with 7 runs, but after Arrieta just shut him out yesterday, the Pirates. But just the pitching staff, top to bottom, has been absolutely impressive. But that five-run second inning, so Alfaro strikes out, then Arrieta strikes out, so all of a sudden space is loaded with two outs. And what happens, first and foremost, Cesar Hernandez. I know I said on this show a couple weeks ago that I had vastly underrated Cesar Hernandez, and I had always kind of viewed him as a expendable piece, someone who could certainly be shipped out in the right deal. And look, there were trade rumors about him and all that type of stuff, but I vastly underrated this guy, and he's really grown as a player and as a hitter over the last 3 years. It is so impressive to see what he's become, as he is just a on-base getting machine, and also he's become a really good hitter and comes up in a spot with the bases loaded and able to rope a single into middle, into center field. What's the amazing thing about this is that Cesar, with the bases loaded, rips a single into middle, into center field that clears the bases. J.P. Crawford with just one of the most heads up and aggressive and impressive, no rhyming intended there, base running moves you will ever see. I personally have never seen someone score from first on a single. I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure it's happened, and I just don't remember it. But that is something that doesn't happen very often, as Crawford just broke on the ball immediately with two outs, able to do that. But really just heady awareness. And this is another thing Kapler addressed in his post-game conference, talking about just how heady a baseball player he is and how aware he is of situation and all that type of stuff. And you could see it. And it was a relatively hard hit ball, not a scorcher. But Crawford was already around second base by the time the ball got out of the infield, and he sprints around third as the Pirates, not really expecting it, kind of loafing in the ball and throwing it in, and then in the play at the plate wasn't even close as Crawford slides in. It was really fun, and it was exciting. It's the type of stuff that sets teams apart. You know, this team has talked a lot about aggressiveness on the base paths and what that could do for a team, and we've seen that. You know, we've seen that both for them and against them. I talked about on this show when they played the Reds about a guy like Billy Hamilton and the havoc that guy can create when he's on the base paths. So seeing this stuff from the Phillies was really impressive, and shout out to JP for just hustling his butt off and also really being aware of the situation as that five-run second really just taking care of business, as Jameson Taillon was done from that point forward. He was only going to make it an inning and two-thirds as the bullpen has to take over. At that point, you're thinking, oh, wow, they're going to have to go really deep into the bullpen. But Clint Hurdle, I think, almost in a way conceding this game a little bit, though he did get decent pitching, but saying he wasn't going to burn out his entire bullpen as he is. It's Tyler Glass now for three innings, even though he was only marginally effective, and Rodriguez pitched well at the end and shut it down, but able to save the pen somewhat. Still, it's always good to be able to knock out the starter less than two innings into the first game of a four-game series. That is never a bad thing. And again, another thing Kapler addressed, just how this lineup is going to grind. And they're no easy outs. And I think that's what you saw. And he said they're going to have big innings because of that, and a lot of big innings. And I think you saw that. I mean, that was a big inning that felt easy. And part of it was the Hoskins homer. But after that, it was, you know, just grinding it out, and Cesar and J.P. Crawford with heads-up base running, and then the Phillies continuing to hit after that. Odubel Herrera with an RBI single, one of his two RBI singles, as he has just been locked in at the plate offensively and defensively. Offensively, a part of this lineup that has just been, again, grinding and really tough to face for a pitching staff. But Odubel, again, a pair of RBI singles, has just been hitting the ball really well. And then another great catch in center field, a diving catch. I feel like Odubel makes a highlight-ish type catch every other night. I feel like I've seen four or five of them already this season, and he's such an impressive outfielder and such great instincts out there and great ability to get the ball. I mean, he's one of those guys where a lot of the plays he does make don't look as flashy as they would if it were a different, less skilled fielder, because they wouldn't be able to get to where he gets in the time he gets there. So he makes it look easy is what I'm trying to say. So it's been really good to see this from Herrera, especially considering, you know, obviously the earlier this week, the issues and the headaches and the nonsense and all the people getting ready to crucify the guy, even though he's been killing it all season and he had just a couple boneheaded plays. Mistakes happen, and I think he felt contrite, and we talked about that, and it's nice to see him thriving right now at the moment. One guy who hasn't been thriving as much as Carlos Santana, but as I mentioned yesterday on the show, and Gabe Kapler talked about, he's been as unlucky as it gets. He has more walks than strikeouts. That's such a strong identifier of positive regression, or you know, a regression of the mean coming, and the mean is much better than what he's been so far. So again, don't bail on Carlos Santana just yet. Be patient. I know he's making a lot of money, and people don't like to have a lot of patience when players get paid a lot of money and come in, but please, I promise you, this guy has been the bastion of consistency for years now, and there's absolutely no reason to think that that's going to fall off now. He's not an old guy or anything like that, and again, the peripheral numbers make it seem like he is going to get better from here on out. And also flashing a leather first base as well, a really strong defense first baseman, made a really nice diving play tonight too. And one more note from the game before we move on and talk about some other stuff and look ahead to this big homestand coming up, and of course the weekend of baseball. But one thing that just really stood out in this game is, man, Scott Kingery is so easy to root for. It's the seventh inning of the game. It's 7-0. There are two outs and nobody on. And Kingery hits a grounder to first base as the first base is playing far off the bag. And the pitcher is running to cover. And in a 7-0 game, Scott Kingery hustles and beats out the throw to the pitcher just from hustling out there. It was a routine play that gets made 99 of 100 times, but Scott Kingery just busted his butt as soon as he got out of the batter's box and just hustled and got down there and ended up getting an infield single, and it didn't turn into anything, but it was just such a sign of not only how easily rootable this guy is, and also, you know, just seeing the way he goes about his business is so professional, and yet he looks like he's 10 years old and he's having so much fun out there, but more so just the character. I mean, that shows, and the what that shows to the players in the locker room, you know, and in the dugout, and when you have a guy in that situation who's hustling at every spot, giving it his all, that only inspires other guys to do the same, and it really almost forces guys to do the same, and regardless of all that, it's commendable. You know, where we certainly see a lot of guys not always run out every play. We've had guys we revered in this city, Jimmy Rollins, who haven't run out every play all the time, and it looks like Kingery is one of those guys, like a Chase Utley type, who's just going to run hard no matter what every time. It doesn't matter what's going on. He's going to just bring it, and we love those guys here, so it certainly looks like Kingery is headed down that path, and that is a very exciting prospect. All right, coming up again, a couple more news and notes around the team. Look at the standings in the National League East real quickly, and then we will, of course, look ahead to this homestand coming up as the Phillies. One down, nine to go, 1-0 on this homestand already, as we will chronicle that as well. It's James Seltzer. It's Phillies Today. Don't go anywhere. We are back. It is Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is April the 20th, as we come off a Phillies victory over the Pirates 7-0. Looking ahead to a the rest of this three-game set here, and then to a six more games in this homestand after that. So a big homestand coming up. First, a couple quick more notes. Again, I mentioned before Cesar, the on-base beast. But it's really been, you look at Hoskins, Cesar, and Herrera have just been so good so far this season, both in hitting the baseball, but also just in general as an on-base perspective. Hoskins at .486 on-base percentage, Cesar at .430 on-base percentage, and Odubel at .380 on-base percentage. That's a winning formula when you have guys in your lineup getting on-base at those type of clips, and then obviously they're all hitting as well. Odubel hitting .333, Hoskins hitting like .326. I mean, they are bringing it. And again, I can't underrate how great Cesar has been. Also, one more note, Victor Arano. Man, that guy, all that guy does is come in and get outs, and literally, that's all he does. As Matt Breen pointing out, Phillies win. Victor Arano retires the three batters he faced in the ninth and has retired all 25 batters he's faced this season, and 32 batters going back to last season. That's one out away from 11 perfect innings. I'll say it again. That is one out away from 11 perfect innings for Victor Arano. Dude is legit, and he is going to be a part of this bullpen no matter who comes back, and he should be, because he is terrific and he should be getting high leverage spots. He is potentially, I mean, turning into the best arm in this bullpen, and that is a crazy thing to say, but right now he's certainly pitching like the best arm in this bullpen. And also, just, I know I mentioned a few things from Kapler's post-game press conference, and it's just a reminder, and watching him talk every night at the post-game press conference, he's just, he comes off as a likable guy in these situations, because he does seem very, he's a very interesting combination of measured but relaxed. He's so positive. He's always smiling. He, he seems to always try and say positive things about his players, which we talked about yesterday. I've been very impressed with Kapler in handling these types of situations that are the types of things that new managers don't always have to deal with prior. And granted, he was a player, so he talked to the media, but probably not at the clip that others might have, the bigger name players, whatever. But I still think, it's fascinating to see how good he does in these. And one interesting point, talking about the lineup and how good it's been, and that one I was mentioning before about the they're going to have some big innings because of how it's constructed and all that. But he compared them to, high praise here, the Red Sox lineups of the mid-2000s that he played for, a.k.a. the Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz, all those guys. Those are some serious lineups. So that is some seriously aggressive praise. And obviously he didn't go so far to say is they're better than this line, whatever, they're the same, but said there were some similarities, quote-unquote, and I thought that was really interesting, so... I hope he is. He's not wrong. All right, quick peek at the standings before we look ahead to the weekend of baseball and beyond, and a couple news and notes as well. But standings: the Phillies now sitting tied in second with the Braves for the NL East, behind the New York Mets. New York Mets sitting at 13-5, coming off a win yesterday. The Nats sitting at 9-10, as the Phillies again and Braves sitting at 11-7, right there after the New York Mets, as the Mets fell yesterday to the Braves, won 2 days ago in that comeback win over the Nats, but falling yesterday as the Braves improved to 11-7 as well. Now the Mets 13-5, so the Phillies only two back in the NL East. And when you look at it as in the National League standings, the Phillies' 11 wins put them as the third best team, tied for the fourth best team in the league. with the Rockies at 11-9, not as good as 11-7. The Braves and Phillies tied 11-7 there. Then you have the Diamondbacks with the better record and the Pirates with the slightly better record. And otherwise, the Phillies right there with one of the best records in the National League. They have the second best run differential in the National League as well, plus 27, second to the Braves. And the Braves had that 15-2 win over the Phillies and didn't have a big loss, whereas the Phillies, of course, had the 20-1 win, but the 15-2 loss kind of evens out there. Needless to say, the Phillies have been playing good baseball, and it's good to see them doing well. Some other quick standouts: the Toronto Blue Jays. We all know about the Red Sox dominating the AL East in baseball at the moment, but Toronto Blue Jays, as sitting at 12-6, have been playing good baseball with guys you haven't heard of mostly, as Josh Donaldson's hurt at the moment, but guys like Yan Hervis, Solarte, and Randall Grichuk and people like that who you've probably never heard of a lot, Kevin Pillar, but getting the job done, sitting at 12-6, pitching's doing a good job. Aaron Sanchez, Marcus Stroman, nice to see the Blue Jays back in it, good fan base and all that, even though, of course, they broke our hearts in 93. Also, the Pirates, one of the standouts, is listening at 12-7 after the loss to the Phillies yesterday. That is tops in the NL Central. As well, speaking of the NL Central, before we look ahead here, yesterday, the Cincinnati Reds fired manager Brian Price, as all the people who wanted Kapler gone thought he was going to be gone first. He was not gone first. Brian Price gone first, and obviously Kapler was never really going to go first, despite what people wanted. Brian Price, a 3-15 start, and the Reds obviously rebuilding and all that, but Brian Price, I think a lot of people in baseball thought Price was going to be the first to go, and it certainly played out that way. So see ya, Brian Price. You'll be missed for your ridiculous rant and all that, but otherwise not unexpected here, and happy to see Gabe Kapler thriving, and I'm sorry that Brian Price is out of a job. All right, looking ahead, Phillies Pirates, three games left. Ben Lively tonight against Ivan Nova. Nova, hit or miss, has the potential to be pretty deadly, but we haven't always seen that from him. Aaron Nola against Steven Brault tomorrow. That's clear advantage for the Phillies. I think we can all say that would be nice to see Nola pitching back at home, as it feels like it's been a little while since we've seen him at Citizens Bank Park. I know it hasn't been that long, but I'm ready to go down there and see Nola pitch. And then Nick Pivetta against Trevor Williams. Trevor Williams has far outperformed what I think anyone would have expected so far with his numbers, but certainly hittable, and I've been surprised at his performance. We'll see how that pans out. Again, this lineup really can get to people, and it should be interesting to see how the weekend plays out, especially considering, as I alluded to before, after that, the Diamondbacks come in for three, and then the Braves come in for three. We already know the struggles the Phillies have had with the Braves, but it's been down in Atlanta, and they owned the Braves here last year, so let's hope that, and granted, both vastly different teams, but the Braves come in here, that should be interesting, but the Diamondbacks come into town. The Diamondbacks first place the NL West. They were a playoff team last year. They've been playing really good baseball so far this season. Their pitching staff has been outstanding. Patrick Corbin, if we get Corbin, and it looks like we probably would, I would think, maybe, I'm not sure. Yeah, I think we would, as he almost threw a no-hitter the other night. Goes 9 innings, 1 hit, and gave up a hit in the 8th inning. Of Brandon Belt kind of just tapper to the other side of the shift, gets through, but they got a good staff. Robbie Ray can pitch. Zach Greinke obviously can pitch, and some bats as well. Paul Goldschmidt, David Peralta off to a nice start to the season. AJ Pollock is a stud as well. So that's a tough matchup. And then after that, again, the Braves. I think, you know, looking at how the Pirates have been playing, and then the Diamondbacks, and then the way the Braves have been playing, you know, three teams that are over 500, three teams that are playing good baseball. This is a real test for this Phillies team, for all the people who look, and you know, you can't argue it. The Phillies can only play what they can play, but sure, the Rays, the Reds, the Marlins, those are bad baseball teams. At the end of the season, those are teams that are going to have a lot of losses on their ledger. I think there's no question about that. So it's a big spot. It's nice to see the Phillies get this opportunity to go out and play some better teams. And to really, so we can get a gauge for what this team is and what their weaknesses are and where they can go. And look, good start, right? You know, 7-0 slashing. If Jameson Taillon's a really good pitcher, had come in having a great season so far, and the Phillies offense just ate him up. So really it was exciting. Exciting to see, and I think there's a lot of potential for this team, and I think we're going to learn a lot as this Diamondbacks team coming in is really good, and the Pirates again have played good baseball, and again, you know, the Braves playing good baseball as well. So should be a really interesting homestand, and could tell us a lot about this team and their potential to play meaningful September games, which, as you know, I have said many times, I think is going to happen. So that'll do it for this week of Phillies Today. Thank you so much for listening. Of course, we'll be back next week to talk about this big weekend series here. The rest of the series as the Phillies look to take game two of the four games that are already up 1-0 after the win yesterday over the Pirates. And then we'll come back on Monday and look ahead to the Diamondbacks and the Braves and a whole lot more. So again, thank you for listening this week to Phillies Today. Keep it locked. We got you covered here all weekend long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.